session number 20384, Reel 1.
Session number 448, Mr. Kenneth Chia Jainan, Reel 1. Mr. Chia, could you tell us your personal background?
On what?
Such as your date and place of birth, your education.
Well, I'm born in 1922, June. Then I'm educated at the Anglo-Chinese Primary School and Secondary School. And finished my school in 1938. Then after, I waited 6 months and I went to work as an apprentice, clerk of works. From there, I built up myself, and I've been in this trade from June 1939 to date. So during my term of employment, I have to work very hard, and I have to learn a lot of things from my superior officer, and I wake up at 5 o'clock and go to the field at 6:45. At that time, they start work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I finish work around 6 o'clock. Then I go back to the office and have to have to request for the day's work for tomorrow, materials and whatever it is for the site. Then I have to organize the site, and I work late, right up to sometimes till 2 a.m., 3 a.m. just to learn the trade. Then from there I learn how to do quantities, then how to read the plan.
Where were you working just before the war broke out in Singapore?
Oh, I started work with a contractor, Mrs. Tan Ing Wah. He's a contractor to the Army, Navy and Air Force. And I'm attached to Naval Base, RAF Slater, DCRA Tanglin Barracks, Sembawang, and a lot of army units in Singapore, throughout Singapore. My hours of work is irregular. Only I can get a little bit of rest day is when it's really rain heavily. Further than that, I even work on public holidays, Sundays, because I want to learn that trade. So I made an attempt to learn that trade. So of course, I've got a lot of experiences on this trade, but only I don't have any paper qualification, such like diplomas or whatever it is. And I can manage and handle the project very well, because I'm so well versed in it already, and I've been this line, as what I've told you, since June 39 to date. I think it's more than 40 years.
Normally, what kind of work did you have to do in these military units in Singapore?
I have to do maintenance job. They call it term contract job. Then also contract jobs, building and civil engineering, both.
What kind of jobs would the company take from this?
Building and civil engineering, construction.
Construction of what?
Buildings. Mm-hmm. Army unit, barracks, bungalow houses, all this. Of course, it also involves in civil engineering, because certain section of the building, you must have a road. You must have an access to go to the building.
Where was the place that you were posted to just before the war broke out?
The first place I was posted was in the army units at Alexandra army units. Thereafter, when the company finds me capable, it gives me another two units to look after. There's Naval Base and RAF Slater. So together I'm controlling three units. So I have to adjust my time to go to one unit to another unit. Every now and then I have to make time adjustment.
Do you know anything about the Japanese community at that time?
Oh, Japanese community. My brother-in-law's mother, my other brother-in-law's mother is a Japanese, and his father is a Portuguese. And that lady is a very nice lady. She's a very helpful lady. And she's a very quiet and very helpful lady. She doesn't interfere with people. And do you want me to continue about her again?
What about other Japanese people? Did you have contacts with them?
Yeah, friends, yes. I've got some Japanese friends studying together with me.
What were your impressions of these people?
Well, they are nice chaps, you know. They are very friendly. They are very friendly. And they are very straightforward in their dealings and everything. I mean, they don't wrangle you around. They are really very straightforward people.
At that time, do you know of, did you hear of news of activities carried out by the Japanese community in Singapore?
Well, they have got their clubs, you know, but I never go to their club.
Did you know of the anti-Japanese activities that were going on before the war broke out?
That is beyond my knowledge. Because I'm always full-time on my job, you see. I got very little time to go out and mix around. I got very little time to mix around. Because I get up at 5 o'clock. 5:30, I go to the work. Then 7 o'clock, start work. Then I finish work at 6. Then go back to office. And I won't be finishing until past midnight. It goes on for many, many years. It goes on for many, many years. I got very little time involved in the outdoor work, outdoor activities.
When war broke out in Europe, what were the reactions of the local people?
Well, at first, the local people doesn't take anything seriously. They were thinking that it's only on the European on Europe side, and nothing could happen along here. And they only say that, hope nothing should befall to Singapore.
What about yourself?
Myself too, the same. I say, hope that Singapore will not be included in the war. Otherwise, it will be a terrible thing. That's what I presume, you see. That's what I presume.
Were there any kind of preparations being made in Singapore in the army units or among the civilians?
The government has done something about this air raid shelter. You see, and they were given warnings to private residences wherever possible, try to make a shelter in your home to safeguard to safeguard from any attack coming into Singapore. So at that time, people were quite busy making shelters, air raid shelters. At the home storeroom, they tried to make into a shelter, wherever possible space in the house.
What were the attitudes towards these kind of preparations?
Well, the attitude is that we all only hope that nothing will befall to Singapore. That is our main thinking, that nothing should happen to Singapore.
What about the army units, especially those places that you were working in?
Well, they were taking life very easy. Very easy. Very, very easy. I myself were in the army units all the time. You see? And I don't leave the army units until 5 or 6 o'clock. They take things very, very simple, very lightly.
In what sense?
Well, they always got a hope that Singapore is not going to be attacked. That's why they take very, very, very lightly. Even the war in Europe is going on so heavily and so severely. They take things very, very easy.
Do you know whether they had any kind of military preparations going on?
Well, they did, but they did not take it seriously. They did, but they did not take it seriously.
What kind of preparations did they have?
Well, just like they make air raid shelters, preparing the men to be aware of the attack. That's all.
Were there any civil defences among the local people?
Yes. That's why I'm one of them in the ARP. I still got the badge with me. You know? I still have got them. I think a lot of people don't have them.
When did you join the ARP?
Well, immediately then we were asked to join, so I joined.
When was that?
I think sometime in 1941, around there, 1941.
Before the war broke out or after the war broke out?
Before, when the European war is going on.
How were you asked to join the ARP?
Well, we were asked to join in our section there, where we live. And our duties is on rotation.
Who asked you to join the ARP?
Well, it is the community in our area.
Where was your area?
Bukit Timah.
The people that joined the ARP there, were it being done on a voluntary basis?
Yes, on a voluntary basis.
So, what kind of training did you have as an ARP member?
Well, firefighting, the rescue work, those people who got injured.
How frequent were your training periods?
Every week, weekly.
Once a week or?
Weekly. Weekly. That is 4 times a month.
How many people were at your post?
Well, I think more or less 30 persons, because we work in rotation.
Did you have to be on duties very frequently before?
Oh yes, yes, in shifts, in rotation.
How frequent were your duties and purposes?
Well, the duties is twice a week. Twice a week.
How did you go about doing your duties?
Well, we patrol around the area. If we sense anything, we have to make a report back to headquarters.
Were there any practices like mock air raids or something?
No. Them no.
Where was your headquarters?
Our headquarters is at the police station.
Which police station?
Bukit Timah Police Station.
Who was the person in charge of the ARP post there?
Actually, I couldn't remember. It's a long time. I couldn't remember.
Did you have to report to the police station very regularly?
Yes, when we go for patrol, every hour we have to make a report. We have to make a report every hour.
Do you remember whether you had to wear uniform?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. We have to. Our uniform was in khaki.
Any ranks and allowances given to all of you?
Yes, yes, we were given allowances. That time I'm only given 150, I think. 150 per hour, or something like that.
What about uniforms?
Given free. Uniform, boots, all given free.
What was your rank at that time?
At that time, I'm only a private.
Who were the other ARP members? I mean, their background. What was it like?
Well, actually, I can't remember who they are already. All being after the war, everybody has moved off from Bukit Timah.
When war started in Singapore, how were all of you called to duty? Called for duty?
Oh, we were just informed that the Japanese is coming in, and we have to assemble, and we have to be on duty during the night, not the day.
When was that instruction given?
When the Japanese have landed sometime somewhere Johor side, further up Johor, the Penang side, as they are coming down.
Was that after the first bombing on Singapore or before?
That was the first bombing. First bombing.
Did you know what happened on the first air raid on Singapore?
First air raid on Singapore, I was in RAF later. They went into the airfield. They even landed in the airfield. And these Air Force people take things very lightly. When they see that a Japanese plane landed, they all disperse off instead of going in the plane to fight, to fly off.
What time was that on the day?
Oh, they came in the day. In the day.
Of the very first bombing on Singapore?
Yes, yes, yes. They come to all these RAF stations.
Did they bomb the Seletar Air Base?
Yes. Seletar Air Base, Naval Base, they bombed. Yes.
How many Japanese planes landed on the Air Base where you were?
Well, they came in groups of 5 to 10 planes, you know. One after another swooping down, one after another. I was near the abyss. I witnessed it very clearly.
Why did the Japanese planes landed on the base?
Well, they wanted to destroy the planes on the ground by using the machine gun. And a lot of planes have been destroyed.
Did the Japanese pilots come out of the planes?
No, they don't. They just dive down, they just machine gun the plane, then they fly off again. They don't land.
Any counterattack from the British Air Force?
No. There's one thing bad, no. No counterattack. When the Japanese planes all move off, then they start flying up. When they move off, then they start flying up.
Do you remember how much damage was being done to the Seletar Air Base that
morning? A lot of planes have been damaged. If I'm not mistaken, one third of the plane is being damaged. You know? One third of the plane being damaged.
What kind of planes were they?
Fighter bombers. Fighter and bombers. Even the ammunition, even the ammunition depot is being damaged. It's being attacked.
Any casualties on the airbase on that morning?
No. No one at the airfield. Only the planes.
At that time, you were working on the airbase?
I'm in RAF later. Oh. RAF Tengah. RAF Tengah.
What were you doing when the Japanese came to attack the base?
Well, I was supervising my works. I was supervising my works.
Before that, did you have any idea that the Japanese had landed in Malaysia?
Well, I heard that they are coming in. They are coming in from Malaysian side. From the Malay, the last time they called Malay Peninsula side. I heard they are marching, coming down, and coming nearer and nearer.
Did you hear, did you know whether there were any raids, air raids on Singapore before the one at Tengah Air Base?
Oh yes. Whenever the plane comes in only, they start hooting their air raids.
So the raid on Tengah Air Base was not the first one on Singapore?
No, not the first one.
Were the people prepared for that raid or were they caught by surprise?
They were caught by surprise. They were caught by surprise. Definitely they were caught by surprise. And every now and then they are caught by surprise.
During all this war, how many times did the Japanese attack the Tengah Air Base that when you were there?
Well, they come quite frequently, you know. They come quite frequently. They come in quite frequently. And irregular hours.
How much damage did they do to the police?
Well, quite at that time, they don't damage the building much. You know, they only damage the planes and the oil installation and the ammunition dump, the ammunition store. They don't touch the building very much.
Any resistance at all? Or throughout all this?
Well, most of the time they were caught by surprise and there's no resistance. They just come down, they just machine gun that place, then they just swoop up again. Then after they go, after the Japanese plane move off, then the Air Force people start going in their plane and start going up, start chasing.
How did you and your fellow colleagues feel about all this?
Actually, I was myself. No one is around with me.
So how did you react to all these incidents?
Well, I have to take it very lightly, lah. See, I only hope that nothing will befall on me. only hope that I'll be safe.
What about the morale among the Air Force people?
Well, whenever they hear a raid, they go in the shelter. But I never go into a shelter. I would not want to go into any air raid shelter. That's for sure I did not go in. And I even see the air raid shelter is being bombed, you know, and hundreds of people died in the shelter.
Why didn't you want to go into the air raid
because
shelter?
Because I feel more safe and more open, you see. If I should have gone into a shelter, I would have been killed in a shelter. And that is the shelter which I was about to go in and I backed out again. When I backed out again, not very long, one bomb dropped inside there. I think about 50 to 70 people died in the shelter.
All the Air Force personnel?
And civilian. And I was outside about 20 feet away from the shelter. And I sensed that the bomb came down, I lie flat on the road. It was near the guardhouse, you know. That shelter was near the guardhouse. And the guardhouse is still existing there.
What were the feelings among the people there in the Air Force?
Feelings
regarding
people.
All these bombings? The Air Force personnel.
The Air Force personnel. They still take things very easy. They think, take things very lightly. They are not serious in it. They are not serious. You can see them in the mess, enjoying their lunch, enjoying their drinks.
How many pilots were there? Do you know?
That I won't be able to tell you, because that is specially for the pilots only.
Throughout the time, do you remember whether there were any reinforcements coming? Like, for example, more planes?
No.
More pilots?
No. 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 No reinforcements come in.
What were you doing all this time when you were at the airbase?
Well, I have to finish up the job, then I have to instruct the workmen what to do, the workmen of various trades.
What kind of job were you doing at that time?
Well, construction, building.
Construction of what?
Of the squatters, mess.
So the job carried on as usual?
The job carries on as usual.
What about your workers? Did they continue to work on?
A few of them, not all. Most of them are scared. They will not come into the base anymore because the main gate is always locked. The main gate is always locked.
Were you ever given instructions to stop building the quarters?
No. No.
At the same time, you were ARP member.
Yeah.
So, how were you involved during this period of bombings and fighting in Singapore?
Well, I had to perform my duties as directed, that's all. Perform my duties as directed.
Do you remember what were the things that you were doing at this time?
Well, patrolling the area to see which place is not safe, then ask those people to be away from all those places. Then we tell them to